Najee, how are you feeling this afternoon?
I'm well.
That's good. Are you preparing for the holidays?
I am. You know, we fortunately, I have a concert date the day after Thanksgiving in the Northeast. Mm-hmm. So the unfortunate thing is hopefully the storm doesn't keep me from getting there.
I forgot about the storm. You're right. There is a big storm coming.
There is, yes.
Are you leaving before Thanksgiving? After?
I am. Thanksgiving Day, so, you know.
Oh, I'll be praying for you.
Oh, well, thank you.
I'll be thinking about you on that day.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And thank you for spending time with me today. And I know you're a busy man, and I really appreciate it because there's a lot of buzz about this new CD that we all are loving.
Yeah, we've had a great response to it. You know, it was a great album to have fun with. It took me 4 days to do it.
That's all?
Just 4 days. First time this ever happened in any of my recording career mm-hmm. as a solo artist. So we took, I just took 4 days with four great musicians, five when you include Melissa Morgan.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
Just knocked it out. Went out to L.A. and just straight recording, no overdubs or anything, you know.
Wow, that's even better. I kind of watched it unfolding as you would post little things about, okay, I'm here with Melissa Morgan and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. It sure seemed like a longer time than that.
But, yeah, well, no, it was straight run. You know, I mean, you know, when you get people like of that caliber, mm-hmm. that kind of that level of the game,
right.
You know, they make it very easy.
Well, we're glad, and who doesn't love and glad to hear from Lisa Morgan again? I mean,
that's true.
I can go all the way back to way back when she did. What did she cover, Prince?
Me,
did
she
do, yes.
You still love me, all the major hits, you know.
I mean, I don't even want to get started on that because you're gonna make me go YouTube it. Okay. you have had such an amazing career, and it has spanned so many years. Does it feel like it's been that long?
No, not at all. It seems like yesterday. I remember as clear as I'm looking at you how it all started. You know, so.
Now there's a funny story behind that. There's a funny story, right?
What funny story? Well, I got a lot of funny stories.
Your initial story.
When my first album came out,
Funny story. I'm thinking of the funny story that our friend Marvin Ross told me about your when you gave your CD unknowingly or unannounced, should I say. And you just kind of, didn't you go knock on the door of somebody really, really big time? Did you do that?
I think they might be mixing up stories. They're probably talking about the time when my brother and I went to Grover Washington's house.
Yep.
And gave them, we let him hear some demo songs that we wrote, my brother Fareed and I, and, you know, he was just very kind to us, you know. He didn't make us feel bad about it, you know. He listened to our CDs, he pulled out his phone and played the whole bit. But we were just kids in college, just trying to find a way to pay for school, really. That's that.
I mean,
but he was a great man. He was very kind and just nice to take the time with us.
Yes, that's not anybody can say that they just happened to just roll up on Grover Washington or David Sanborn and say, hey, let me check this out. and you know, I mean, that's an amazing story. So I'm sure that's a story that most people probably wouldn't even believe if they, you know, they wouldn't even believe that really happened. Like, from that point, what happened?
Well, you know, he never covered our songs, but you know,
okay.
We went back to Boston and we struggled through our college education the best we could.
Mm-hmm.
And probably about 2 years later, you know, I ended up quitting school because we both did because we couldn't afford to go anymore. And came back to New York City. And just one night I'm sitting in a jazz club playing traditional jazz music. And in comes Lizette Wilson, who was the musical director of Chaka Khan. And she invited me to audition for Chaka's band. And that's how it started for me, you know. And from there, I met Melissa Morgan.
Mm-hmm.
We were in the band at the same time doing the Ain't Nobody tour.
Ain't Nobody.
And, you know, she did her first album on Capitol. She invited me to play on that album, and next thing I knew, I was signed through Melvin Moore's husband to Capitol EMI Records.
I mean,
yeah.
Oh, what an awesome. God is good. I love it.
Yeah,
well, we are so glad. Wow, are we so glad you were sitting in that club just, you know, randomly and It was your destiny. Clearly, it was your destiny.
You know, in hindsight, you have to say that's the reality of it.
It is. But what has it taken you to maintain longevity in this business? I mean, this business is not always pleasant and kind. No.
It's not. You know, I think what has been in my favor is consistency, you know, trying to do something that people can relate to and will support. Mm-hmm. I was very fortunate in those early years to get an audience that followed me, basically grew up with me.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yes. Yes, we did.
My initial audience was an R&B audience. They grew up with me in the jazz world, mm-hmm. and they've stayed with me ever since that time. So,
well, it's true, because even now, there's not many people that you can say the name Najee to and they don't know who you're talking about.
Oh, okay.
That's a good thing. I mean, really, because that's across genres. Because if you ask someone, who is Michael Franks? If they're not a jazz head, they're not going to know who you're talking about. A true jazz head. But if you say Najee, they're going to know who they're going to know.
Yeah, very grateful for that.
And that's a good thing. You have 16 albums to date, correct?
I've lost count. I believe
16.
That's
I think you have 16.
Yeah, a few of those are greatest hits type things, you know, too.
Right. So. Well, describe, if you could, put into, put a couple adjectives on how you would describe the music you create. How would you, what would you call it? Or how would you describe it over the years? If there was an umbrella over them all,
I think accessibility is very important. You know, create music that's relevant, has some relevancy to the cultural mm-hmm. time you're in. You know, and being true to what it is you do. You know, I have a very strong R&B audience, mm-hmm. Jazz, what we call now smooth jazz mm-hmm. audience type, and I've been fortunate to kind of go between a lot of worlds. You know, in my career, I played traditional jazz. Some people have followed me in that world, even classical. You know, playing flute. So, you know, really just whatever it is I do, I try to do something that I think is relevant to whoever's listening as best I can.
Well, so. I think you've mastered that, because you know how to give the audience what they want, depending on... and that makes for, you know, a musician, playing an instrument, okay. But when you have the talent and when you... I think it's very important to be able to engage your audience and being a good being smart, first of all, knowing what you're doing, is being able to be in, go from one day you're here and you had to, you know, tweak your show this way, but you have enough sense to know I can't go over here and do that exact same thing. It's not going to work, you know.
Yes, you know, as there's many things you learn as you go, you know. I have to admit, when I first started this thing as a solo artist, mm-hmm. I was very adept at being a background musician. I knew how to do that well. Mm-hmm. You know, when I was called out front to play, you know, I did what I was supposed to do. But to become a solo artist, someone leading the band in front, that took a minute for me to figure out. Mm-hmm. And over time, you know, I've gained that ability to understand, you know, how to relate to the audience, particularly if you're, you know, I'm not like Anthony Hamilton when I get up there and I can dance and, you know, run all over the stage, you know. So, but, you know, I've learned my own way to communicate what I do, and it's worked. It's worked very well.
Well, do you find it easy to connect with your audience and create a bond with them? Is that natural for you, or is it something you have to think about, or does it just happen?
I think it's natural for me now.
Okay.
You know, it's not difficult for me to do, because I understand what works, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Every artist has their thing, that's routine, if you will.
Yep.
You know, thing I find... you know, as knowledgeable as a musician I am, is not until I hold that one note forever that everybody understands.
They go crazy. Yay!
Like, what about all that other stuff?
I know. Yeah. What is it about the one note thing? What is it about the one note, even for a singer?
Okay, you know, so.
A singer can do the same thing, and people think they've just broken, like they, you think they would just broken a record or something. I'm gonna call it the one note wonder. I don't get it. It's a phenomenon. Just keep holding those notes and you'll drive them crazy every time. how is it that you always know exactly what to create musically to engage. Well, you kind of hit on it. How do you always know at the appropriate time what to create to engage your audience?
Mm-hmm. I really don't, to be honest with you. Okay. I never know what it is. No, I really don't know what it is that's going to work for them. I just do what feels good, what mm-hmm. feels natural. Mm-hmm. On this album, I worked with DeMonte Posey, who he's currently producing. He just finished with Kenny Babyface, mm-hmm. you know, Edmonds and Tony Braxton, but he's done most of Eric Benet's stuff.
Uh-huh.
He's currently working on Ruben Studdy's new album. So he produced this album with me. And it was a great energy for me to feed off of because he's so creatively adept, you know, in the music business mm-hmm. and has worked with so many great artists. So he helped make it easy, you know.
Well, I'm sure you helped. I'm sure he would say the same thing about you. You know, he would just probably say, well, you know, he made it easy because you know what you're doing. You know, you've been doing this a long time. So I'm sure it's yeah. fun when you can collaborate with somebody who brings this skill set and this skill set, but together you can just create.
Yes. And you know, as an artist, I've been very fortunate to be able to be that person. Most of the people I've worked with, thank goodness, it was always a great chemistry. You know, working with George Duke, for example. You
yes,
know,
yes.
He producing my records. And my brother, of course, my brother Fareed, mm-hmm. you know, who's my biggest albums, you know, when you think of Tokyo Blue. And,
yes, yes.
Just an Illusion and Day by Day, he was a part of that whole those early years, for sure. You know.
Do you have an album that stands out the most to you for multiple reasons? For your own personal multiple reasons, it is an album that just will always be that album that just, for whatever reason, it's just that album.
I think that's true for probably a lot of my records, but if I had to pick two, okay. I would have to say probably my very first one, okay. Najee's Theme, because uh-huh. that was hugely successful and I wasn't expecting it to be.
Okay.
You know, I didn't go in with the mindset, oh, we're going to be nominated for a Grammy, we're going to sell a million records. It was none of that. Mm-hmm. I was just had an opportunity to record an album. It was really a combination of demos. that was put out by Capitol Records, Capitol EMI, and at the time, and I would have never, I thought it was going to be just something I could say I did.
Mm-hmm.
One time in my life I recorded a record, you know, but that album became hugely successful. I would also have to say maybe Tokyo Blue, because it was first album that my brother and I, we actually got control of our recording budget and built a studio and began working together. And I'll never forget the day we finished the studio. The next morning, we were in the studio trying to figure out how to use the equipment that we bought. So, but those were great times, you know. And that album, again, was another huge successful album.
Oh, awesome, awesome, awesome. So now let's talk about The Smooth Side of Soul. Love it, love it. You collaborate with Phil Perry and Jeff Lorber, Chris mm-hmm. Davis, and James Lloyd of Pieces of a Dream. So you yeah. have some heavy hitters.
Yes, that's my last album, though.
I didn't say that
is the one we did before.
Right.
We had James Lloyd come in on Pieces of a Dream, who are Jeff Lorber, who I've worked with over the years, you know, several times over the years. And that did fairly well, you know. Phil Perry right. is, you know, he's a legend in the industry and his own R&B legend. We did a video with him.
I love the video. I love the video. Love the video. I was kind of. I said, "Is that not Najee's taking it to a different? You know, he's throwing some. I mean, that wasn't. I watched it and I thought, well, this is so funky and so. I mean, it's got some element of some elements of some. It's just something. I was, you know, it took me a couple times to watch it.
Really?
Yeah, I had to kind of because I'm listening to Phil, I'm listening to you. And I'm watching the video, yeah. and I'm like, wow, this is cool. This is different. I like it.
Yeah, well, thank you. Well, you know, as a saxophonist, jazz saxophonist, you always try to find an angle, you know, something that separates you from everybody, because a lot of yes. people are doing a lot of the same kind of stuff these days. And, you know, I'm always trying to find my own game changer, if you will.
Yeah. Well, I think... and I'm speaking as a jazz head now, I think you don't have to worry about carving your niche of the jazz world because you've already done that. It's like I said, it's clear that there are some names in jazz when you can say so-and-so and so-and-so and so. People know, and they know what they're going to get. And you have done that even while now changing us up and throwing, you know, you threw the Phil Perry in there and that whole spin on that was like, oh, you know, so you keep us on our toes and you keep us on our toes and you keep us in forever engaged, you know.
Well, thank you.
What prompted you to use Melissa Morgan?
Yes.
For that particular song, did you do it with her in mind?
I did. And you know, Melissa and I go back, as I said, many, many years.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we were kids together in Shaka's band in the mid-80s. And, you know, we had the opportunity to work together. She had, after that tour, she put together basically the same musicians that were in that band that we worked in this club called The Cellar in New York, which was... back during that time, a very legendary place to play, and she ultimately got her first record deal. Well, fast forward maybe 2 years ago, we were touring together, doing a couple of dates together, and I just love that she had the magic that the audience still responded to after all this time.
All this time, right.
And I told her, I said, listen, I'm going to send you a song. You don't have to tell me you're going to do it or not do it. Just listen to it. And she said, yes, I want to do it, and that's how it happened.
Magic.
And so far, R&B radio has been responding to this thing, you know, just like I had expected it would. So,
well,
it's great to work with my friend.
You. Is she still touring? Is she still working around? I guess doing her own thing. Still,
yeah, she does. You know, we do work together now on a few dates we have coming up in 2014. So, and last year we did the Shane Park Music Amphitheater out in Detroit and a few other places, in Las Vegas and other places. So she's still touring, yeah.
Well, who else? Tell me who else you wrote a song with that person in mind or collaborating with that person.
Let me see. Gosh, there's so many, you know. There's a song that still, after all so much time, my son is now 20 years old, but when he was born, this song called Noah's Ark, you know, which every concert I still have to play that song. There's a song called Embrace off of the Embrace CD, which was written for my mom around the time that she was, just before she passed.
Mm-hmm.
And the last time I played that song was live in concert when she was in the audience, the last concert she saw me perform in Boston.
Wow. Incredible. Incredible. So what is the one song when you do your show, it doesn't matter where you are, what you are, that the audience requests most?
You know, I think that I've been blessed to have a few of those. You know,
okay, okay, so right.
Day by Day.
Okay.
Is one of them. Tokyo Blue. That's a
kind
of
always.
I always yell out for. There's quite a few, you know, so.
You just,
An Illusion from the Just Illusion CD.
Is it easy to get new audiences or new listeners to gravitate towards what you're doing now, or do you find that they want to stay, keep you where you were? They want to keep you to the Najee of old, quote unquote, you know, instead of this, you know, the Najee who would have a Melissa Morgan on a track, or you know,
I think if people hear the music, it's not a problem.
Okay,
you know, the time you're in is, you know, sometimes I get these questions like, "Where you been, Najee?" Well, I'm still doing what I've done years ago. But you know, I think what they're saying is we don't see you on TV as much anymore. You know, so.
you have been kind of you. Now that I think about it, I don't know that I would look for you on TV. I would listen for you more so than look for you. But it, you know. I'm trying to think of when the last time and you were just here in Charlotte and I missed you. I'm so sorry. I was out of town. And I thought, I haven't seen Najee in years. I need to go to see Najee, but I heard you did a great job. I hate I missed you. I would have loved to see you do your new stuff from the morning after.
Sure, I'm sure we'll be back. Yeah.
Are you on a lot of Jazz Fest coming up? the
You know, this year, I'm sure we will be. You know, this is just, we're just getting started with this record, so a lot of things will be coming down regarding that. But honestly, I think because the format has changed, you know, where, you know, before we were R&B stations would play instrumentals. Back when I was coming up, you know, it wasn't uncommon to hear Bobby Brown, a New Edition, and then a Najee record, you know.
Exactly. But, exactly.
You know, but they're not going to play Beyonce and Najee back to back like they did back in the day. You know, it's just, so it's not that the artists have done anything to change their careers, or even that they're not as popular as they used to be. Mm-hmm. It's just the exposure, you know, the way the format works. You know?
I'm hearing a lot from promoters to jazz artists that there's this online theme or whatever that, okay, well, jazz, you know, the radio stations aren't playing jazz like they used to. And sure, so, yeah. And so with the dwindling, jazz market, quote unquote, for, smooth jazz radio stations, is jazz fading. I said jazz, and I'm quick to defend it. I said there's no way in the world you can take away every radio station you want to. There's no way that people who really love the music will ever stop supporting it. I don't care what you do. You
well,
agree?
I totally agree. Yeah, I think as long as it's in the hearts of the people, there's always going to be a way that the music will get across to folks. You know?
I agree.
I mean, we debuted number one, you know, that's significant that a lot of people have heard or are listening. And then also Robert Glasper, who has a great album that people are calling jazz, R&B, or whatever. I mean, he's getting across, you know, and... you know, so I think as long as the hearts of the people want to hear this stuff, it doesn't matter. I mean, of course, we would love corporate support, but
right.
I think there's always going to have that element in society that people are going to want the music.
Yeah, always. And I don't think it matters, because if you can go to a jazz fest, let's think, I was at Seabreeze last year in Panama City. So you're talking, no, this year, and you're talking about a whole lot of people. I mean, there's, right. How are you going to say to those people, well, jazz is dying, so I don't know where you heard this music at that you're coming to watch, but why are you even, that's not going to work. That's,
right.
Which goes to show you, there's no way that this music is going to die, you know,
right.
or.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's not. And so, I don't know what people get this, but anyway, it is a constant, aggravating question or things that I hear, and I just just aggravates me. But anyway, I also hear that the new generation, quote unquote, the new generation of jazz, these young artists who, and some of them so good, like your Nicholas Cole and
yep,
some of them are just phenomenal artists who are looking at the genre and trying to tweak it a little bit in their minds, and they're putting their spin on it. I said, well, you know, as long as you keep doing this, and as long as they keep doing that, and it just keeps evolving, it'll never stop. It's like a snowball. It just won't stop.
I agree. I hope you're right about that. I totally agree with that. You know, it's always nice when there's some fresh energy coming into the music to keep people engaged. That's very important. So
you're right. And you mentioned Robert Glasper, and I have that. That CD, I love that CD. I love it. However, I wouldn't label it. You said people are labeling it jazz. Really? Are they kind of sort of putting it in that? Why? Why do you think
well,
that is?
Because he's traditionally, he's a very gifted pianist. I mean, mm-hmm. He plays jazz.
Okay.
And plays it well. You know, I think he found a, you know, a formula where he invited major R&B artists to participate. And,
yep.
The angle that he took, a very organic approach to recording the music and engaging the artist a certain way, you know, I think, you know, there's still the improvisational element there, you know, even though he has R&B artists like Brandy and Jill Scott,
mm-hmm.
You know, and of course having someone like Layla on there, you know, you can't, I mean, I'm a jazz artist and I can hear the elements that make, I can relate as well,
right,
as the R&B artist, the R&B audience as well, so.
Well, how did it feel debuting at number one?
Well, I'm always grateful. I don't take it for granted. I think this is probably my five or six number one record at Billboard. I've had several, thank goodness. And so don't take it for granted. I'm grateful to the audience for supporting me.
Well, I don't think you're going to have a problem.
I don't take anything for granted, you know.
What is going to be your next?
Pickle business, you know.
Right. Oh, God, yes. But for you, this is just me personally speaking, I don't think you're going to have a problem. Najee, you've been around a long time. You are here to stay. You're here to stay.
Right.
Yeah. Nobody's getting rid of Najee. We're not ever going to let anybody knock Najee out the box. It's not going down like that.
Well, I appreciate it.
Oh, no. Oh, no, 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 no. Do you know what kind of uproar that would cause? Are you serious? We love you. We love you.
I don't take anything for granted. I'm grateful to the people for their support always. And, you know, those people who still enjoy live music and live musicians, you know.
Well, yes. So now tell me, what is your next song to be released off The Morning After?
I really don't know. Right now we have the current single, Champs Elysees, which is doing very well at Smooth Jazz Radio. And then, of course, at R&B Radio, we've gotten word that some of the R&B stations around the country in New York and D.C. and other cities are picking up the Melissa Morgan track that I did with her. So,
well, are you already thinking ahead? I hope. Yeah, I know you're going to say yes. I don't know anybody who doesn't say, yeah, I'm already thinking. Are you planning ahead for your next project, or are you just focusing on promoting this one in 2014?
Well, I have to be honest and say I'm just focusing on the one in 2014. Mm-hmm. I mean, this one that's currently out, because we just released it, and there's a lot of life to it, and I can't wait to perform a lot of it on the road, you know, for the people. So really my focus will be on this record.
So, and you have some dates set. Where,
yes.
What is your website so people can find, like, keep track of your tour? What
sure.
is it?
It's called NajeeMusic.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can visit NajeeMusic.com. As of right now, we haven't posted most of the 2014 dates, but they're coming up now. And, of course, they can, you know, we have Facebook, of course, mm-hmm. Najee, the official page.
Okay.
Come and visit and like the page. And, of course, there's Contact Najee, Twitter, Contact Najee, and Instagram, of course. So, you know, I'm very accessible. And if it's too hard to remember, just Google Najee. It'll all come right up. You know?
If you got a problem, just go pick one.
There you go.
Because you are Najee, and there's only but one Najee. Tell me, after the passing of our wonderful, beloved George Duke. Well, we know what everybody kind of went through, but personally, as someone who's worked with him, what did that do to you as a musician, or did that change anything about you as a musician, or not change who you are, but change anything about your perception or your outlook on what you were going to do, or your plans for what? Well, you know, did it make, you know, sometimes those things can be an eye opener.
Yes.
And we have those moments where we say, well, oh, did that happen for you?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it was a tremendous loss to the industry. Mm-hmm. I think, George is one of those people who, there was no one like him. You know, you can't feel that the world will never have another George Duke.
No.
I mean, that's just,
no.
You know, I mean, I feel so blessed and honored for him to have such a direct and indirect impact on my life personally as a musician and artist. You know, we had a saying for him when back in the day, we used to call him Big Papa, because he was like a daddy to everybody, you know?
Right.
And I just feel so blessed to not only have him produce my records, but to have toured with him, get to know him personally, and be in his home invited, and spend time with his family, and, you know. So I think, you know, it just brings home the reality that none of this we do is to be taken on a level of, you know, this the end all to life or living or why we're here, you know.
Exactly.
It's a reminder of anything else, you know.
Exactly.
How precious time is.
Right. And that's kind of what I was shooting for when I asked you that. I couldn't really figure out how to ask it, but that's kind of what those moments and those things do for us. They give us a moment to go inside and then reflect and then come back out and say, okay, well, this is what I have to do or what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Is there a reason, Najee, that the morning after has a love thing going on? Is there a reason for that?
It started out as just a collection of songs, but as time went on and the romanticism of the record began to evolve, my iPhone, I carry these titles in the little section, I started using the titles I just collect over time and started naming the songs. And, it kind of reminded me of places I've been blessed to tour throughout my life. We start out on a rendezvous, two people meeting in the airport. And then we go to Saint-Tropez, France. We go to Champs-Élysées in Paris. We go to Shinjuku in Japan, Tokyo. We go to Mafalala, which is a township in Mozambique that I visited. My friend, famous saxophone player in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
He's from Mozambique, and one time I was performing there, and he took me on a tour of one of the townships.
Mm-hmm.
And I had been to several townships in South Africa, but this one in Mozambique was right in the heart of the city of Maputo. Mm-hmm. It was called Mafalala. And when you go there, you see the people are, some of the houses don't have running water or even electricity. Dirt roads. But when you look at the children, they're happy, they're playing, they don't have PlayStations, they don't have HBO, none of that stuff.
No worries.
So when I came back, I wrote a song about it, and it ended up being Mafalala. We even have a song in there called West 72nd and Broadway, which is an area I grew up in New York City, part of my life. So we go everywhere on this record.
So you actually, you just collect titles, if you will, at when they come to you, you just kind of store them in your iPhone for a later date.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Really? Oh, okay. Well,
I'm sorry to break the mystery to you that way.
I know. I'm like, wait a minute, because I was just getting ready to ask you. Well, do you write the song first, then title it?
Sometimes, yes. A lot of times, that's the case. And it comes in different ways. There's really no one method to how I do things.
So this the morning after and the overall theme really, I guess, is, I mean, because you hit on, I know I keep saying love, but you hit on, the place in South Africa from now you had me with the airport rendezvous and the Saint-Tropez. You had me with that in Paris, and I'm like, oh my, what is this? And then,
yeah, we even take a trip to the moon.
Right, but then you take me
to the moon on there.
Right, but then you take me to, I mean, but then you take it home to where you used to live. I mean, so
yeah.
I guess you kind of, okay, you do go all over the place, like you used to say. Kenya, South Africa.
West 72nd and Broadway is one of the places where it all began for me, as a kid. Part of my life up until I was about 11 years old. We moved to Queens when I was about 11, but lived in Manhattan and at one point in Brooklyn. And that particular area, West 72nd Broadway, I think I was about 8 or 9 years old. And my mother, who was a great jazz supporter and fan, that area, you could walk around New York City and you would hear live jazz music in the daytime sometimes coming out of a restaurant, live musicians playing, on a Sunday or a Saturday night or something, it just brought me back to those times. I mean, that particular song is a traditional jazz song, featuring Brian Bromberg on acoustic bass.
Ooh, yes. I'm enamored that I'm, even get this opportunity, because to me, you are a legend, if you will. You are.
You know, every time I hear that legend word, I hear old,
Well, now, I don't, it's funny because I don't see you as an old man. I see you as, I don't see you as old. I see you as legendary, Najee, because you have, like I said, your career span years. I mean, it's been sustainable, and you've sustained it for years. It's never been, okay, well, he's disappeared off the face of the earth, and now, he's back. No.
Right.
And even if you hadn't had an album in a year or two, it didn't matter, because we're going to go pull out Tokyo Blue. We're going to go pull out something. I mean, I have cassette tapes of Najee, if that says anything.
Oh, wow.
So that's just how far, you go back. So, you are legendary.
Well, thank you.
You are you.
Well, I feel very grateful that the audience has supported me all these years. You know, and I couldn't have done it without people. You know, people wanting to listen and support what I do, and you know, so I'm grateful.
What is your favorite song, Najee, from The Morning After? I meant to ask you that a few minutes ago. Well, out of all of your stuff, your around the world. We can name you could name this Around the World. You could have titled this Around the World. You could have titled it Around the World.
Yeah, well, you know, that's basically what it is. But I think West 72nd Broadway, which is the last song on the album, is one of my favorite. Mafalalo is definitely one of my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Shinjuku, which is, you know, an area of Tokyo where George Duke and I, we dedicated that song to him.
Okay.
Is an area of Tokyo, Japan. People who've been there know that there's an area of Tokyo called Shinjuku where we spent a lot of time.
Okay.
So, honestly, they all have their own little significance for me.
Well, Chum, I'm going to ask you this last and final question of in-depth thought. If you had, being the legendary that I've given you now, being the legendary Najee, the extremely talented, multi-talented man and musician that you are, what would be your gift or your words of inspiration for someone who wanted or to aspire to be like you or to kind of follow in your footsteps to kind of walk in the walk in the steps that you've clearly laid before many artists? What would be your inspiration, or what would you give a young artist to motivate them?
I would say that don't ever expect the struggle to end. I mean, you know, you get, my brother has this saying, he says, when you get to the top of one level, you're at the bottom of another. So,
yeah.
I've been blessed to do a great many things, but I've never had that feeling like I've arrived, you know. Every time I've gotten to the top of something, there was always another thing to that came along my way to challenge me or to keep me going. So, wherever you are in your position in life as an artist, I think that's where you need to be, to struggle with this thing. If it's for you and right. You really believe in it, then it's going to present challenges and it's never going to stop. You're never going to have that feeling like, I've arrived, I can just lay back and it's all there now, you know.
But clearly, watching you and watching others, it's the dream is possible.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I'm one that would never say don't... You know, I'll tell you a story. I at one point in my career sold my horns when I was in college, and you know, I'd gotten married, had a young baby, mm-hmm. you know, my young daughter, and you know, I decided, well, music wasn't for me anymore. Mm-hmm. So I sold my horns, got a job in a bank, did a 9-to-5 thing.
Oh my!
And I thought that was it for me, you know. Ooh. And then one day I happened to run into a next classmate. He was a piano player, and from the New England Conservatory of Music, where I went,
mm-hmm.
and he said, man, I haven't seen you in school. And I said to him, I said, well, man, I gave up music. I'm not doing it anymore. You know, I'm going to, he's like, what? I can't believe you're saying this to me. And I'm like, yeah, man, I did. He says, you know what? I'm going to send a horn to your house, and I'm going to call you for gigs. And that's what happened. He sent me an alto saxophone. Uh-huh. He was a piano player. And he would call me to do gigs all around the Boston, Massachusetts area. And that's what brought me back in. I was making more money with him than I was working in the bank. So
wow.
It is, as if it's for you, it's for you. There's nothing, there's no one in this world that will deny you that if it's for you. So you just have to not be discouraged, you know, when the challenges come, because if the challenges didn't come, then everybody'd be doing what we do.
Correct. And we don't want everybody to do what you do, because everybody could not do it as like you do.
You can't have great reward without great struggle, so.
Well, that's true, and I think that's in any area of our lives. It is. So that's good, because it can get kind of hard. I guess you got to have some tough skin.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And if nothing else, at least a determination to take it as far as you can go until it tells you it doesn't want. You know, the one thing I've always found is when I think I've taken it as far as I can go, there was always something that said, no, you know, you're not done. Let's go here now, you know.
So you push yourself. Would you say you push yourself or you challenge yourself more than anybody else may challenge you or may ask you to do something? Do you yourself say, no, I'm going to even go beyond that. I'm going to push my own envelope.
At times I have, but honestly, sometimes life circumstances force you, you know, to challenge yourself more, because I think we all have that sense of complacency when we get to a certain point and we're mm-hmm. comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We want to chill for a minute, but then life will send some circumstance that forces you to reconsider and to work hard and, just typical life. And I think that's true for music, for anything, you know, in life. When you get
comfortable,
something comes along and says, time to keep it moving, buddy, you know.
You keep it moving. Stop.
That's
yes.
Right.
Stop. Don't. Okay. No complacency here.
God is very funny. He'll say, "No, I got some challenging situations for you here that you need to pay attention to."
Oh, and is he not funny?
No.
He is hilarious. Sometimes I say, "Really?" I have to say, "Really? Okay, joke. Can we stop the games? Can we stop the joking, God? Really?" And I just know he's looking at me like, I don't know why you're talking to me, because I am the boss. And
there you go.
You just have to roll with me. Is there anything that you have not done, Najee, that you want to do career-wise?
Career-wise? Well, I'm always excited to work with new people. I would like to work with Robert, you know, Robert Glasper.
Ooh.
I had the pleasure of doing, when George passed, we were at the George Duke Memorial, and he, Stanley uh-huh. Clark, and myself
Oof.
Just did a very impromptu thing. Wasn't anything serious, but I think
that's serious. Excuse me, time out. That's serious. You got time out, Najee. You got
when I say serious, you know, it wasn't rehearsed, it wasn't
right.
planned. He just showed up, I showed up, Stanley Ooh. Clark was there, we just three of us together. There was a magical moment, even for that short 5 minutes we played together, and I said to myself, man, this is somebody I'd love to work with, you know.
I can't even imagine. Like, I'm jealous. I would be a fly on the wall. Just for those 5 minutes.
When people have to pass on to bring magic together, you know, but...
God works in mysterious ways, Najee. Then we just say God works in mysterious ways, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I just can't imagine you, Stanley Clark, you two alone, add in Robert Glasper, whoa.
You're right.
Whoa. You know, either one of you alone is whoa. The three of you together.
Right. Well, thank you.
Oh God, you know it. I love Stanley Clark. Who would
Stanley,
I love?
Stanley. Another one of our legends, you know, who's we're blessed to still have with us. And I had the pleasure of touring with him for a few years. You know, I had him on one of my records, and we did an album together called "Light of the Greek," which is still doing very well after all these years. You know, so it's always good to see him. Yeah.
Do you find that your reception in Europe and overseas is? Well, I know it's always different in Europe. I don't know what it is about Europe. I know that musicians are all, I don't care what genre it is, they're always received differently overseas.
Yes.
What is the main difference?
I think there's a different sense of appreciation for the way art is embraced there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's still supported financially by institutionally, you know. It's historically, Europe has always preserved arts, you know.
Okay.
Our country does too, but, you know, we're influenced more by the microwave type of energy now, you know. But I think they have a sense of appreciation for the things that, you know, for the art culture in general, you know.
Yes.
An artist, yeah.
I totally agree. Will you be taking your tour overseas next year, maybe, possibly?
We've been getting a lot of inquiries about coming back there. We haven't been there in a few years, but I'm sure we will, absolutely.
Okay, and I say it was my last question, serious, but I got one more, because the more you talk, I think of something.
No,
sorry.
No,
one more. Who is an artist? Well, you said Robert Glasper, but who is an artist that... not most inspired you, because I know everybody asks that same question, you know, so I don't want to ask that question. I want to know who today, right now, present day, no, I'm going to say dead or alive, I'm going to take it back, dead or alive, who is the one person that you, if you could go back and say, I want to sit in and do, like, impromptu, I want to go sit in right there beside you and work with you one-on-one, just in my own dreams or I would love to do that. Who would that be? Dead or alive?
Because she was the first to bring me to the world stage, you know. I mean, other than Benny King, in terms of during the what was relevant of that time, I would say Shaka, you know, and I had the pleasure of seeing her recently, and You know, she still calls me, I still call her boss lady, you know, she's
still,
but I would love to do something with her just out of, for legendary reasons, you know.
That would just be hot.
Yeah, you know, I've been very fortunate though, I mean, to work with Prince, you know, I toured with him for 3 years and to do a couple of albums with him, that was an amazing learning experience for me, you know.
I can imagine.
Something that I didn't plan on in my career, and it happened, and it was just a great thing, you know. And I learned a lot from him, you know. Very, very knowledgeable artist, one of the best.
He's genius.
People I've ever met in this business, for sure. You know,
He's genius. He is.
Yes, absolutely.
I saw something today about him. Actually, it was just today that he some tour, something. A couple of his horn players for MPG live here as well,
right.
And
yes.
They were talking about he and Marcus and Marcus Anderson. You know Marcus, right? You know Marcus? Okay, Marcus and
very gifted young player. I got a lot of respect and admiration for what he does.
Marcus is phenomenal. Gotta love Marcus. And Adrian Crutchfield, who is all, they're also in Anthony's band from time to time. And, you know, they toured Anthony too. So they they always post when they're doing things with Prince, and I'm like, are you guys not the luckiest dudes around to be on the road with Prince? Really? Oh, we're going to Paisley Park. Really? It's like, quit rubbing it in our faces. Because who wouldn't? I said, you know, it's not fair because you guys talk about, oh, it's going to be this. And people, I want to be there too. Can't just hop on a plane. I'm just going to end up in Minnesota. I'm going to go to Paisley Park. So.
Well, you know, I mean, I think it's a great opportunity for them, and the real treasure of working with Prince is, and it is so much experience with how he's been treated by the machine and how he's been able to navigate his career without the big machine support at times, and has been hugely successful. And I think there's a lot to be taken. I think while they're there, they should learn as much as they possibly can, not only as from an artistic point of view, but a business point of view. You know, so they're very fortunate to be there at this time, for sure.
I know.
Among one of our living legends, for sure.
A living legend in his own. We don't even want to just get, we can't.
Right.
We can't talk about Prince, because that'll be, I mean, that's just a whole, I mean, you've mentioned so many. You've gone from, you know, we've talked about George Duke, Stanley Clark, Prince, Shaka. I mean,
yeah.
Grover.
Yes, Quincy.
Quincy.
Worked with him with one. Yes.
You mean there's so many. I would just love to. I can't imagine. I always tell people that if I could be, like, I always have this vision of an empty swimming pool, and I'm sitting in the swimming pool, just empty at the bottom of this pool, and someone could just smother me in music. I mean, the great of the greats, and the talent of yourself, and those legendary artists that are just. Who just phenomenal? I would just be in pure heaven.
I understand. I feel that way myself when I think back on these things, you know.
Well, yeah, but you're fortunate because you are in the arena where you do get to engage and interact musically with those that you admire and those that you so.
I am very fortunate.
That is a blessing. And I will sit back and enjoy every bit of it on this side.
Thank you. Yes,
I will. And I'm going to do my best to catch you, Najee, in 2014. I'm going to catch you somewhere in this country.
I hope so. That'd be nice.
I will. I'm going to. And I'm going to continue to watch The Morning After. Since you don't know the next single...
We're still on this. We've only been out a few weeks.
Since October, right.
Weeks. Yeah, so it's hard to determine because these are still, they're just now starting to blossom in the game. So,
well, I'm going to sit back and wait, and I'm going to talk to Marvin, and we're going to continue playing him on the radio, listen to him on the radio.
All right.
And
give Marvin my best, you know, and thank him for putting us together.
This connection, yes.
Marvin,
and
yes.
You stay who you are.
Thank you.
You stay who you are, and you keep. Well, thank you for this current body of work, because we, like I said, we have a long time to enjoy the current body of work. The Morning After, we got a lot to enjoy there. So we're going to indulge in that for a little while, and then we are going to be looking around the corner, like, okay, Najee, what? We all right now. bring it back to us. Yes. Have a good Thanksgiving. I pray you do not get caught in this weather.
Yeah, I heard all about it.
I'm gonna be praying for you personally.
Well, thank you.
I'll be thinking about you as you travel on Thanksgiving Day, you said, right?
Yes, I do.
Well, you got to make it, because those fans who are on the other end waiting for you are going will be very disappointed if you don't.
I'll figure out something. If I can get to D.C. and drive, I'll be good.
Oh, you're going to drive, right. Because you're going to New York, you said, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So you're gonna go to D.C. Well, yeah, you can drive to D.C. I'll drive from D.C.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, pleasant holidays, and I'm just gonna continue to be in awe right about in a few minutes. I'm going to continue to be in awe, and then I'm going to get on the phone and call my friend Marvin, and we're going to talk about this conversation. And you be blessed, Najee, and once again, thank you on behalf of Pink and Blue Notes. Keep your eyes out. Check my Facebook page out. I will connect you, and we'll connect, and stay in touch, Najee, okay?
Will do.
It has been a pleasure.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a good one. Bye.